Thank you and welcome to Scripture on Creation. I'm Scott Kump.
And I'm Dr. Ben Scripture.
Dr. Scripture, there are many worthwhile daily devotionals for Christians to choose from. And on occasion, you like to pass along to our listeners something from one you had read. Mm-hmm. So in today's program, you want to talk about an article you recently read in the daily devotion, Days of Praise.
Yeah, Scott, Days of Praise is an excellent devotion published daily by the Institute for Creation Research. The thoughts will generally have some connection to creation or the Creator. And the November 15th, 2020 devotion caught my interest for a couple of reasons, and so I wanted to share this particular publication with our listeners today.
And maybe before you get into the article, we should let people know how they could read the Days of Praise devotions for themselves.
Well, that's an excellent suggestion. If you go to the Institute for Creation Research's website, icr.org, in the upper right corner, you'll see an icon that says Subscribe. Click that icon, and it will take you to a page that allows you to subscribe to the Days of Praise devotion for free. Now, we're discussing the Days of Praise publication today, but you'll notice that on that page, you can also sign up for their monthly publication, Acts and Facts. I highly recommend both of those periodicals.
Okay, so back to the devotion you wanted to talk about. You said it was published on November 15th of 2020. They usually have titles, right?
Yes, and this one is titled Maker and Owner.
From the title, I think I have a pretty good idea of where the article is headed.
Oh, yeah?
Let me guess. The Lord made the heavens and earth and all they contain. Therefore, the Lord owns the heavens and the earth and all they contain.
Okay, Scott, I appreciate you basically wrapping up just about everything I was going to say in one sentence.
Oops. I may have gotten ahead of myself, and you too, apparently.
Apparently. So, now, what do you want to talk about?
Come on, Dr. Scripture. Surely you had more to say than that. We haven't even read anything from the article.
Well, yes, I do. I'm just pulling your leg a bit, Scott.
Okay.
But you were right in your assessing the key idea of the devotion simply from its title, Maker and Owner. And that concept of the Lord's ownership of creation by virtue of the fact that He made it is something we come across frequently in the passages we look at as we study Scripture and what it has to say about creation. So, frankly, that familiar principle wasn't really what piqued my interest in the article. It was the verse they cited to begin the discussion. It's Jeremiah 27:5. I have made the earth, the men and the beasts, which are on the face of the earth, by my great power and by my outstretched arm, and I will give it to the one who is pleasing in my sight.
Okay, that is an obvious reference to the Creator's ownership of creation, but I'm curious as to what about it was especially of interest to you, Dr. Scripture. It seems to be a pretty conventional statement to me.
I suppose it is. However, I wasn't familiar with that particular verse there in Jeremiah. And I'm always happy to learn about another quote-unquote creation verse. So with that, I'm going to read some from the devotion, Maker and Owner. And by the way, the Days of Praise always quotes the King James Bible, a priority of the late Henry Morris. But when reading a biblical text, I'm going to be quoting the New American Standard Bible. So the devotion begins quoting this verse, I have made the earth, the men and the beasts which are on the face of the earth, by my great power and by my outstretched arm, and I will give it to the one who is pleasing in my sight. Jeremiah 27:5. The earth, the man, and the beast are the three entities that God is said to have, quote-unquote, created, using the Hebrew word bara in Genesis 1:1, 21, and 27 in the Genesis account of creation. However, they are also said in Genesis to have been, quote-unquote, made, using the Hebrew word asa in Genesis chapter 1, verses 25 and 26, and chapter 2, verse 4. And that is the emphasis in our text above. Of course, both aspects were accomplished in the 6 days of the creation week, after which He rested from all his work which God had created and made. Genesis 2:3. This statement makes it abundantly plain that the present processes of nature do not create, call into existence out of nothing, or make, build up into more complex forms, anything, as our modern theistic evolutionists and evangelical uniformitarians allege. God has rested from both of these works, except in occasional miraculous intervention in the present laws and processes of nature. So I want to stop there, because they're making an interesting point about origins. The evolutionary theory calls upon ex nihilo and process fabrication to explain the origin of the universe and everything in it.
Ex nihilo meaning out of nothing, which is one of the explanations used by proponents of the Big Bang theory.
That's correct. But what is being pointed out here is the Lord claims to be the cause behind the fabrication of the universe out of nothing. Or maybe a better word is appearance, because now that I think about it, doesn't fabrication indicate making something from pre-existing materials? Scott, what's the definition of fabricate?
Well, let's see. I just happen to have my Webster's Collegiate Dictionary right here.
How about that?
It says, quote, fabricate, one, to invent or create, and two, to construct or manufacture, specifically to construct from diverse and usually standardized parts, unquote. So, Dr. Scripture, it seems it can be used to indicate making something out of nothing or with pre-existing components.
Okay. Well, that's our English vocabulary lesson for the day. But again, what the Days of Praise article was pointing out was God uses two different words that tend to communicate different meanings when revealing how the heavens and earth and all they contain came to be. And so it's not surprising that evolutionary explanations propose two different causes as well. The universe spontaneously popped into existence.
That would be exploded.
Yes, exploded into existence out of nothing, which is equivalent to the Hebrew word bara. And then out of those existing materials, the contents of the universe were fabricated, which is equivalent to the Hebrew word asah. The evolutionists use the term evolved, claiming that by time and chance the planets were made, and then simple living organisms spontaneously arose, and then those simple organisms were gradually processed by natural selection.
That would be random mutations and blind luck.
That's right. And then the simple organisms were fabricated by nature into the vast diversity of life we see today. So those are the two causes for the origin of all things, according to evolution. But in contrast, the Lord claims that He is the cause behind the origin of all things, whether by ex nihilo creation or fabrication creation.
Ooh, that has a cool ring to it. Fabrication creation, the Bible's answer to natural selection.
And given God's claim that He created and made everything, He claims ownership. So I'll read the rest of the devotion. Quote, now, because God did create and make all things, He also owns all things. The earth is the Lord's and all it contains, the world and those who dwell in it. Psalm 24:1. For every beast of the forest is mine, the cattle on a thousand hills. Psalm 50, verse 10. Therefore, all that we possess, as individuals or as nations, has simply been entrusted to us as God's stewards, and each one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Romans 14:12. Without a doubt, this accounting will be of our handling of our goods, our minds, and our opportunities, among others. For it is required of stewards that one be found trustworthy. 1 Corinthians 4:2. Let us be thankful, not covetous, and industrious, not slothful, in everything He has entrusted to us. Unquote. So that ends the Maker and Owner devotion. And I thought the verses they applied to the principle were very good. And what especially interested me was the comparison they made between evolutionary explanations for origins, which include ex nihilo and process, and the biblical use of the Hebrew terms bara and asa to communicate the same concepts.
The difference being evolutionists give the credit to chance, and the Bible reveals that God is the cause.
Exactly. But, you know, if you recall at the beginning of the program, Scott, I said the article had piqued my interest for a couple of reasons. I just pointed out the first, but I haven't mentioned what the other thing was.
You know, that's right. I'd forgotten all about it. So what else was so interesting to you?
Well, Scott, as I have to do on occasion, I have to confess an error on my part.
Ooh, this should be interesting. What is it?
It's something I have thought for a long time and shared many times in my messages and even on this program. I've taught that Scripture's consistent description of how God created everything is that it was with His finger or His handiwork. The implication being it was a simple task for Him. Now, I still hold to that idea. However, I also taught that the only exception in the entire Bible to that finger or handiwork description was found in one verse. Scott, read Jeremiah 32:17.
Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heavens and the earth by thy great power and by thine outstretched arm. Nothing is too difficult for thee. Okay, I see the reference you're talking about. There in Jeremiah 32:17, Jeremiah describes God making the heavens and the earth with power and an outstretched arm, not just his fingers.
And I subscribed to the idea that was the only place such a description occurred. But what have we read today in Jeremiah 27:5? Quote, I have made the earth, the men and the beasts which are on the face of the earth, by my great power and by my outstretched arm, unquote. So there is another description of God using his power and his outstretched arm to create. And note, they are God's own words. He is speaking, making the claim for himself that it was by his great power and outstretched arm. And finally, tell us again what verse records the Lord's words, Scott.
Jeremiah 27:5.
27:5. And what is the text that I had previously incorrectly taught was the only verse in all the Bible that attributed God's creative work to his great power and outstretched arm?
Jeremiah 32:17.
32:17, which follows Jeremiah 27:5. And so one other detail that I find truly fascinating is this. Jeremiah 32:17 are the words of Jeremiah himself. And what is he doing there in Jeremiah 32? He is praying. And as part of his prayer, Jeremiah is actually quoting exactly what the Lord had said to him. I have made the earth, the men and the beasts, which are on the face of the earth, by my great power and by my outstretched arm, and I will give it to the one who is pleasing in my sight. And that's not what I say, that's what Scripture says.